I think we're live, Grace.
We're live.
Monday night.
Yeah. Monday night. Monday night. Time for the show. How was your weekend?
I'm tired.
Yeah, same.
My weekend was good, I guess. I'm tired. Yeah. I don't want this fall stuff to start. Every day feels like fall now. I'm negative Nancy. Like boo hoo, but I'm good. It's Monday.
Yeah.
How are you? Well, you have a knit hat on. Is there no heat in your house?
I just couldn't wait to put on my knit hat. It's fall time. We're ready to switch from the trucker hat to the knit hat. When was it? Yesterday was my first knit hat day, and I was pretty excited.
Is that like? It was yesterday, like you don't wear white after Labor Day or something like that. Like same thing with hats.
Oh. Yep. Trucker hats can still come out every once in a while. Like I had my trucker hat Saturday. Sunday though, Sunday was a knit hat day. Yeah. It's time. It's time.
Grace.
Yeah.
Knock, knock.
Who's there?
Cash.
Cash who?
No, thanks. I prefer almonds.
I heard it as I was saying it. I'm like, this. I hope it's a joke about cashews. Did you hear
the joke about paper?
I did not.
Never mind. It's terrible.
Oh, boy. Get
terrible.
Terrible. Yes.
Terrible.
Yeah.
Come on. These are good. These are good things.
They're golden.
Yeah. I searched Google for hours for the best ones to bring to you.
They're lovely.
I have no more facts for you. There's nothing out there on the interwebs.
You know what, Eric? You're enough.
Well, I tell you what, Grace.
You are enough.
I know you love your books about running and stuff, but I'm reading a book right now about anti-gravity.
Uh-huh.
It's impossible to put down.
Oh, boy.
All right, I'm done. That's it. That's my three for the night. You're welcome. Okay,
I like it. Good job.
You want to start this show?
Yeah, let's do it.
All right. Grace, tonight we have a badass on who just set a 200-mile FKT. Let's talk about it all on episode 83.
Nice.
I'm Eric Idiot Runner Kosek.
And I'm Grace Hot Pants Langheim. Eric is all business in the front of the pack, and I am all about the party in the back.
That's right. Business up front and party in the back. Together, we are the Running Mullet.
And we are going to talk about every aspect of running, the podium to the DNF and everything in between.
If you are a runner, this show is for you. Now sit back, get out your foam roller, and enjoy the party. You went to the Circus of Dirt this past weekend, didn't you?
I did. I went to the Dirt Circus. That was fun.
Yeah?
Yeah, we had a good time. Ben did not arm wrestle me. I was very disappointed in that. I don't know what has to happen in order for him to arm wrestle me.
So you asked him and he declined?
He declined.
Wow. I think that's a win for you.
I was pretty bummed. He was very nice though. I mean, everybody was.
You talking about the same Ben?
Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah.
No, that's a.
Everybody was in a pretty good mood. We didn't have. There was a little bit of sprinkly rain, kind of here and there, but a little bit of wind. But for the most part, the weather was good. There was a group run. It was nice seeing. It was kind of cool seeing race directors all in one place who I really admire because they put out. I have like this tiny little itty bitty race one, and then the other folks are just putting on these huge events that last for days and multiple events. So it was cool to be surrounded by people who are really good at what they do.
Yeah, and speaking of that, Eastern States registration opens tomorrow at 6 p.m.
It opens tomorrow. And I really think, I think that I know it was challenging what happened, having the race canceled. Of course, we saw another race canceled this past weekend with the Yeti 100 miler down in Damascus, which Damascus just got hit incredibly hard. But it's been interesting since then, all these stories have popped up about, you know, not just so the Eastern States canceled, but now we get to hear all these stories of what people did. You know, we saw Emily did Grindstone because Eastern States was canceled. And then our guest tonight, Eastern States was canceled. And she said, I'm just going to go run 200 miles instead. And so I think it's really cool that we get to keep continuing this conversation about Eastern States. And now registration is going to open. We're going to keep it rolling.
Keep the ball rolling.
I feel like we need, we should get like a donation for talking about this race so much or something.
A donation from Ben?
Yeah.
If he's so nice.
Are you going to register tomorrow?
I'm sorry. What?
Eric Kosek, are you signing up for the Eastern States 100 on Tuesday?
I wish I could stay with you. I'm losing everything. So Ron. I'm back. Anyway, let's get going with the rest of the show, huh?
Okay. Sounds good.
Whatever. I don't know.
Yeah.
Crazier things have happened.
Yeah. Congratulations again to your two daughters. I feel like we talk about this every single weekend about how amazing they are. So we got to do it again. Why not?
It's a busy time of year. The poor things got like 5Ks are hard, Grace. You know that, right? 5Ks are like
100 miles. I avoid them because they are very difficult.
Very, very difficult. And these kids are like pounding them out constantly. You know, Lauren's 5K. Casey is mile and a half, but still running hard. And she's doing very well. The meet this past weekend is one that's been going on for 60 years. It's kind of very competitive. Brings all the boys and girls to the yard, you know. And
it sure does.
So it was very cool. But yeah, winding down the season as we head into the end. So very, very cool. Yeah. So who we have on, Grace? Why don't you intro the person?
Yay! I'm excited to intro Jess. Jess Fireball Eager is going to be on the show. Tonight is about time that we got her on the show. And she's done many amazing things. Also, having completed Grindstone 100 last year, not this year, and was going to run the Eastern States 100. Of course, it got canceled. So she said, hey, why don't I go out and set an FKT on the Mason-Dixon Trail for 200 miles? Why not? And I remember, Jess, when you were out there, Eric and I were talking about upcoming guests. And you were out on the trail. I was like, we should have Jess on when she finishes. And he's like, is she going to finish? I said, oh, yeah, she'll finish. So I'm glad we got to have you on.
Awesome. Yeah, it's exciting to be on.
Is that, I got to know, is that your shower curtain behind you?
No, it's a curtain. It's sad that you think it's a shower curtain.
I was really hoping you were in your bathroom using your shower curtain.
I'm hiding out in my bathroom. Yeah. Actually, I have the house to myself right now, which is a rare occasion. But so nice. I don't have to hide my bathroom or my closet.
Yeah.
Nice. Has Fireball always been your nickname? Trail name?
Yeah. When did we run Rehoboth? What year was that?
2019, I think.
Yeah. So probably as long as I've known Grace, my trail name has been Fireball, and I earned it at a road marathon where I drank way too much Fireball and literally is probably the only time in my adult and young, like teenage life that I passed out and woke up and was like, what happened? I don't know. And it just involved too many.
Oh my gosh. It was pretty funny. It was pretty funny. We had a really good time. We had a really good race. Jess had a great race that day.
The Fireball was taken after the race.
Yes, there's an after party.
Yeah. There like was a lot of beers.
Okay.
And then we went to the Purple Parrot and we were with our other friend, Trish, and her husband and some of his friends, and they kept buying rounds of Fireball. And at some point, Trish and Grace went to the bathroom and they came back with more shots of Fireball. And I decided to drink them all. And that's when I about don't remember what happened. I woke up in the hotel room with Grace and was like, dude, what happened? It was like 8 p.m.
It was pretty great. It was like 8 o'clock and Jess is like, I'm hungry. And she goes, man, we had a lot of fun and I didn't even puke. And I go, oh, I hate to tell you this. There's a reason why you're hungry, because you emptied out that belly a little while ago.
Yeah.
But it was all in good fun. Everybody was safe. It was a really good time.
Yeah, there was no driving or anything. But no. I really don't like Fireball anymore, but the name stuck, and I don't think I've ever gotten a new trail name, so it's just kind of stayed what it is. And
yeah,
it's
we had a lot
story.
Of laughs about it. Yeah, yeah. We went to Wawa and got some snacks afterwards, and then got some good rest, and then drove safely home. So it was there was some drinking involved, but it was all done safely and good fun.
Yeah.
Fireball is a strong flavored drink, and it's I mean, alcohol wise, it's fairly weak as far as shots. So you had to ingest a lot of Fireball.
I did. There's video footage. I did. And I can't say it's something I ever want to do again.
I don't think it ever did happen again. So
no.
Yeah. Mm-mm.
No harm.
But we came to talk about your big adventure.
Yeah.
So let's back up to Eastern States. Thank you. Sorry. Back it up. Back it on up.
Yeah. Go ahead. Sorry.
So you went for the Triple Crown this year and had a great race at Heiner, had a great race at World's End, and then Eastern States canceled. And so from there, kind of start off with you starting trying to figure out this adventure and what you're going to do and how you landed on that.
Yeah, Eastern States was really sad. Like, absolutely understand why they had to do it. No hard feelings there, but it was like I had a pretty rough year, like kind of leading up to World's End, just personally had a lot of stuff going on and had really overcome a lot to get where I needed to be in the training. And World's End is a super intimidating race, and just being able to go and accomplish that was it. Gave me a lot of confidence and a lot of drive and kind of continued on that training into Eastern States and felt really good and really ready and had been out on the course and was like, we're going to do this. And it just goes to show you, like, nothing's guaranteed. You can do all the things and the race may still not happen. Yeah. So that was disappointing. And afterwards, it was just kind of like, you know, I want to do something, but I was looking for something that like, inspired me. And I looked at all the races, and I've got some limitations with schedule just because of kid weekends and stuff like that. I have my kids every other weekend. I try not to schedule races on weekends that we have them. And I just didn't see anything. Grindstone was a possibility, but I'd already done Grindstone and I didn't really want to go back and do it again. I definitely wanted something that had some vert to it. But just nothing really caught my eye. And since I had crewed you for the Mason-Dixon FKT, it's always been something that I've been like, I would love to try it and see what it's like and see if I can do a multi-day event, see what it feels like to run, you know, as many miles as like you did and go to sleep and get up and do it again the next day. Because there's always that thought in my mind of like, could I do a 200 miler? Like, how would I function with that? So it seemed like a good opportunity to do. And I kind of said to James, I was like, you know, if I go do this, like, then you can pick whatever race you want and I'll crew you for it. But like, I need you to like, take care of me for a couple of days while I do this and drive the van around. And he agreed. And so it was like, well, when do I want to do it? And I wanted to do it soon. I didn't want to like take a rest and train. So I was like, well, let's do it in 2 weeks. I was able to secure like 2 days off of work and that was it. And I was like, it's going to be tight. Like I can get off Monday and Tuesday. I can't get off Friday. I had already taken off time for Eastern States and I was like begging them at work and they said, yeah, go for it. So I was like, okay, I got like 4 days. Like I have to try and squeeze this in. And I think you'd said before, like how much planning goes into it. Like when you go to a mm-hmm. race, everything's been pretty much done for you. You train, you go do it. When you go do these FKTs, it's like having to kind of figure out all the logistics of it. If you're doing, especially if you're doing a support effort or an unsupport effort, either way, like mm-hmm. there's just a lot of planning that goes into it. So I spent the better part of 2 weeks like trying to figure it out. And it was kind of funny because as I'm reading the maps, the Mason-Dixon maps, I'm like, there is a lot of road. Like I knew there was, but like I just didn't realize how much. And then I was had those moments where I was kind of like, what did I agree to do? What was I thinking? But I was too deep in it already at that point. So
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Was a lot like, of the okay, trail sections.
Yeah. So out of the 200 miles, how much roughly ballpark, how much is it?
Roughly? It's about 50%. It is about 50% road.
Well, Jake just came into the chat. So Jake can tell us how much, Jake, how much road versus trail is on the Mason-Dixon? I bet he'll know. And I feel like it's a lot of trail sections that are connected by road. And then toward the end, there's a lot of road.
Yeah, it's like a lot of really cool, nice, different types of trail sections, people's mm-hmm. backyards, random places, and then these roads. And sadly, it seems like it's becoming there. They've added some trail, and then there's been some road additions because of private property and people mm-hmm. like the angry man. don't want you running on their property. So you have to like divert on a road. It was funny when I was submitted the FKT, like I got a lot of questions because of all the changes that have happened since mm-hmm. you ran it. And mm-hmm. they were like, they said you took some road shortcuts. And I'm like, no, those are the new like route diversions, and sent the links over to them because it had, you know, gained a little bit of road. Mm-hmm. They didn't notice the extra mileage I did in Hellam Hills, but they noticed the other the other stuff. So I was like, no, this is the most recent version of the trail.
A couple of sections did switch from road over to trail. Jake said now it's about 45% road, 55% off road. So it's which is challenging in its own right. You know,
who's this Jake? Is this Jake from State Farm?
Jake is like I was so thankful. I would have felt like if I had him for my FKT attempt and Grace hadn't had him, like it would have been an unfair advantage. He just knows the trail so well. He was like my guide for the second half, like for the last 70 miles. He just knows so many details about the trail, is an awesome runner, and is just willing to go out there and like be your guide so that you don't have to look at maps or worry about turns. You can literally just, he dresses all in blue like a blaze. And I tell him I just followed him as a blaze for like the last 70 miles. So he's awesome.
Jake Landon. He's a kind of a legend down our way and picks up, knows the trail really, really well, right about kind of the Maryland line east. Whereas the Maryland line west, your expert is usually, which he knows the rest of it too, but Roxanne and Dave kind of, you know, take care of a lot of that. Rob Bartholomew also, you know, a big supporter of the Mason-Dixon Trail. So there's and I know Jake, he maintains a piece of it as well. So
yeah, he does a couple pieces. There were times when like we were running and he's like, well, we can go this way. And I'm like, are you sure? He's like, yeah, I blazed this area. Blazed it. I'm like, okay, well, I guess, yeah, that's sure. I'm good. I'll just follow you.
Yeah. So we do have great questions coming in from the chat. So let's start at the top. How much of the Mason-Dixon had you been on before running the entire trail?
I knew Pinchot, and I knew the area down the Susquehanna. I've done pretty much all of the section of like longest day. So from Susquehanna State Park up to Wrightsville. I had been to Hellam Hills once. But other than that, like my knowledge of it was when I crewed you. So literally like the places I drove the car to and occasionally ran the trail in, it, funny enough, I grew up in Delaware and went to University of Delaware and knew about and had been to White Clay and stuff, but I didn't know it was the Mason-Dixon. And that was like 20 years ago now. So, I really probably had only seen about, 30, 40, maybe 50 miles of the trail prior to doing this.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that sounds about right. And yeah. And for our listeners, the Mason-Dixon Trail begins at Whiskey Springs, is a, mm-hmm. a stop at the on the Appalachian Trail. So it's a blue blaze off of the Appalachian Trail. So it's at Whiskey Springs, which is close to Harrisburg, I guess. Is mm-hmm. it's in
best. Boiling Springs area. Yeah.
Yeah, Dillsburg. Yeah. So mm-hmm. So that's the western terminus, and it goes east to the Susquehanna. It follows the Susquehanna down to Maryland. It crosses the Susquehanna in Havre de Grace, Maryland, and then it comes up and kind of follows the Mason-Dixon line, and it follows some of the markers that Mason and Dixon, who were surveyors way back in the day, that they set to discover the dividing line between Maryland, Pennsylvania, and Delaware. And so it follows that line, it goes into Delaware, and eventually comes back into Pennsylvania. So it goes through three states, and it's a point-to-point trail. And that's probably enough of a description, yeah?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Back to our questions. Where did you sleep? At home, along the trail, in a vehicle?
I had the bougiest supported FKT. You could ever have. So we have we're lucky enough to have a converted Mercedes Sprinter van that has a bed and a shower and an air fryer and a sink and air conditioning and all the amenities of home. So James, that's my boyfriend.
There should be an asterisk next to
I year. Know there should be an asterisk because and that was something I thought about is like, because when I crewed Grace, like it was in my 4Runner. We were sleeping in the back of the car. It was freezing. Mm-hmm. We had a dead battery at one point. Like there was all these things about it that were not quite as nice. So it definitely like having the van, they don't say you can't. It is definitely, I think more people should. I feel like we could start a service where we could like crew people in this thing. But no, I slept in the van for the couple, the hours that I slept. I slept two nights out of the three, almost 4 days that I was out there. Mm-hmm. And it was nice. I took a shower in the van. We just parked wherever we stopped. The first night we stayed at Otter Creek. And then the second night we actually stayed down at Cold Cabin.
Mm-hmm. Nice. And, there's lots of different ways to do an FKT out there. Yep. Roxanne Strine, she will tell you. And she was the first person to set the FKT mm-hmm. on the Mason-Dixon Trail. And she went home every night. Actually.
Yeah. I can't imagine leaving and going home and then like getting back up and stuff. It was really nice to be able to like roll. And I had learned that from you. It was nice to park and like roll out and go the next day. I definitely had some more amenities, but in the downside, I'd say sometimes it's a little harder to get up and go when you're mm-hmm. like comfortable and cozy and just like the Mason-Dixon, because it has so much road, does lend more towards that kind of supported FKT because there's so many places. I probably would have gotten done a lot faster if there weren't so many places the van could have met me because I stopped a lot.
A lot. It's handy. Yeah. It's nice.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. All righty. How many miles were with pacers and how many were solo? I know like when I did mine, there was a lot of notice. You mm-hmm. didn't have a lot of notice. So did you get some people who came
out? I did. That is the one awesome thing about this trail community is you can literally say, hey, I'm going to do this thing in 2 weeks and people will come. It's impressive. Like I said, Jake was like, yeah, I'll take off. I'm going to take off work. I'll come do it. And I was like, thank God. That's awesome. So I had him for the last 70 miles. So a good bit of it. And then up in the beginning, you know, I had reached out to Amy Whitmore, who is, she's been with me through so many tough nights and things. And she was going to come pace me at Eastern States. And I was like, hey, do you want to run some overnight miles with me on the road, some in Pincho on Friday night? And she was like, sure, like literally. So she came and joined me at Pincho and ran to the Wagyu Club. So did, you know, quite a few miles with me through the night and a lot of like Lonely Room miles. And I really appreciated it because I didn't realize like how nerve wracking it would be to run alone in the dark, like in the woods, not in a race setting, like, and just kind of be out there on your own, especially like in the territories that I wasn't super familiar with. Like the, after the first 16 miles, after you leave Whiskey Springs, those game lands, I was a little freaked out. Like I was like, the blazing wasn't great. I was just kind of like, I don't know where I am. I hope I'm in the right place. And there were so many like wildlife and deer, and it was just my headlamp and their eyes staring at me. I was like, this is, yeah, it definitely, the next couple nights when I had, when I grabbed her, it made a huge difference. And I was so, so thankful to have her company. She actually like helped motivate me to actually do it. Cause on Friday, I had to work. Like I couldn't get off work that day. And I knew I had to start Friday night to have enough time. Like there was no way I was going to get finished without having that buffer. And I had like the worst day at work on Friday ever. I was just like mentally and just emotionally exhausted and was like, I just want to go home and sleep on my couch. I don't want to go do this right now. And she was just like, oh, we'll just walk. She's like, I'll walk with you. Like, just do it. It's okay. And she just was so like, you know, motivational, just like, just go see how it goes. And so she was part of the reason I got out there. Her and James were both just like, why don't you just still, you know, you've got all the prep work done. Just go do it.
Mm-hmm. May as well.
Yeah.
Let's see. Did I miss any of these? Oh, here's the one that I missed. Why did you choose west to east direction?
That is a, I don't know. I think like I was more familiar with this side. And I guess I figured I'd start that. And also a lot of the harder sections are there. And I was like, I wanted, my A goal was to get the FKT. My B goal was to finish. My C goal was to run 100 miles because it was kind of like my makeup for Eastern States. And if I was going to run 100 miles, I wanted it to be the 100 harder miles with the bird. And that's kind of in the first half of it. So that was why I chose to go that direction. I can see too where it would be challenging to go the other way and have those harder miles, you know, by the Susquehanna in your second half. And I should go back and say that in addition to Amy, I had Jen Brazé come out and pace me. And my friend Kelly and her daughter came out and paced me. So I had lots of people join in like throughout and Julia came out and pace the miles with me. So I really actually had a lot of company along the way, even with such short notice, which was awesome.
Yeah.
So and what were the actual time differences between you two?
What was your time, Grace? I think, or the time differences between the FKTs?
Yeah. And finishing times. What did it end up being? I never even looked or know.
Okay. I think Grace was about 4 days and 21. Hours?
I think it was 412.
412.
But
I don't remember. It was
Jake
it was,
probably knows.
Jake probably knows. I was 3 days and 21 hours. And yeah, Grace, I think was 4 days and 12 hours.
Yeah. Okay. Pretty close.
Mine was like spot on 4.5.
Gotcha.
Yeah. And I was just under 4. So like 4 days and 21 hours. Mm-hmm. And I literally finished like with just enough time to go home and go to bed and go to work the next day. Like, so that was my goal and that's what I did.
Nice. What'd you eat?
Oh my God. Well, interestingly, you know, I've struggled the past couple of years with like stomach issues and like a lot of nausea and having trouble with it with running. And, you know, it was interesting. I listened to Jordan talk about before about anxiety, and like, I had developed a lot of like race anxiety and not having confidence, and like that leading into and really feeding some stomach issues. And I've been really working on that and have managed to kind of, I feel like, overcome that in the past year, which has been awesome. Because it's awesome to eat when you're out there running. It really sucks when you're nauseous and you can't eat. So I had like, I ate a lot. I had these little mini cheeseburger sliders. I had bacon. We stopped for food a couple times. I literally had McDonald's once, which I'm not even like a huge McDonald's fan, but at the moment a Big Mac was amazing. I had all kinds of ice cream, treats, frozen treats, drinks, like you name it, I ate it. And that's basically that, again, that was the advantage of having the van and stopping so frequently, is I did do like gels and stuff, but I was able to stop often enough that I would basically stop and shove a bunch of food in my face and then keep going, which was good. I definitely ate enough. I felt like that was one thing that I fueled really, really well for it, and was able, like my running pace was able to kind of maintain my running pace at the same, like even towards the end. And I think that that was a lot because I ate enough calories to kind of stay in the game. It's really hard when you're doing the multiple days to not get behind. And every time I rested or slept overnight, like I just literally, it's the only time in my life where I'm like, what can I eat that will give me the most calories?
Yeah. Now, what do you think was the most difficult section of the trail?
So this year, like, you know, it's funny. I was prepared for the heat. Like I knew I was doing this in August. That was the other thing about not really preparing and doing it on the fly. Like, I don't think August is really an ideal time to go do an FKT because of the heat and because just everything's overgrown and blazes are harder to find. But it was dry, which was nice. But then there were bees. Like the whole bee issue this year has been a big surprise. And honestly, I didn't even think about the bees until I was in Hellam Hills and came across this big sign that was like, wasp nest, like go around. And I was like, oh yeah. And I've been lit up by bees before on the Mason-Dixon and it didn't even enter my mind. So then like for the rest of it, I was pretty paranoid and I got stung a few times along the way. But I think the hardest section was actually the last road miles. You have basically like 14 miles of road after you get out of White Clay. And I was down to the wire where it wasn't like, and I got out of White Clay around 2-3 o'clock in the afternoon. So midday, hot, and it's like road miles without a shoulder, and everybody's getting out of school and work, and there's so much traffic. And I was just like, I have no desire to run a road half marathon right now, but I need to get done and I want to be done. So I was like, that those were really hard. And that's probably the time where I literally said to Jake, I love you and this has nothing to do with you. I just really am not happy right now. I was like, I'm so glad you're here, but I'm sorry if I'm not a nice person, because then, and it was that it was like physically hard. It was just mentally grueling. I don't run long distance road. I haven't run a road marathon in years. I maybe run 5-6 miles on the road. All my long miles are done on trails. So to run 100 miles almost a road through this FKT, that was probably the most challenging part of it.
That is not the answer I think a lot of people might have expected when thinking of the Mason-Dixon. So that was a good question, Glenn. Most people think of the Four Bitches, but not so much always.
I love that section. Yeah, I absolutely like, and it's like, I don't expect to go fast during it. I've done it enough. I know it enough that I'm just kind of like, I'm going to go and grind it out. And actually that was a section because Roxanne and Dave are so awesome. They came and picked us up and we were able to leave the van over by Uri. And then so James could join me for that mile. So he was able to run with me for those miles, which was really nice because we hadn't been out on that section in a while. And that was the one place where I fell pretty bad and got hurt. So it was nice to have him with me because I was like, I literally like fell over a switchback and like landed on my stomach and like really like knocked the wind out of myself and was like, oh God, what did I just do? And so that was nice. But I mean, that section is always challenging, but it's also like one of my favorite parts of the trail. It's what like makes me want to go out and do it.
Yeah. Oh, that's great. And you, so how is your thumb? You hurt your thumb, right?
Yeah, I did. I have it's called a field goal or a goalkeeper's thumb, or, and I should be wearing a brace, but I'm a healthcare workers make horrible patients. or a skier's injury. I had my leaky poles in, so they were locked in. So when I landed on my stomach, I landed with my pole and it hyperextended my thumb. And you have this like ligament that attaches your finger and your thumb here. Mm-hmm. And I have an avulsion fracture. So like the tendon ripped off a piece of the bone and it just takes like forever to heal. It's getting better. It's just annoying. Like it's more, thank God it's not my dominant hand, but of course I would be the only person that would run 200 miles and the only thing I injure is my thumb, but it could be worse. I was very glad that I didn't like crack my head. Like literally I fell into a bed of rocks. I'd never done anything like that before, but I just completely ate it bad.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's not your hitchhiker's thumb. So that's good. You still
get I can still hitchhike. I just can't like grip anything. Like that was one thing I couldn't use my poles for the rest of the trek. So I was poleless, which I used them a lot, but I couldn't anymore. So then I may not be using them still for a little while longer, just cause that's what aggravates it the most at this point. But
that's hard.
Yeah. Oh, well, at least it's not my legs. I was super surprised how well my legs and my feet held up. That was like a pleasant surprise for me because I've always wondered how I do on a multi-day event, but they felt pretty good. My feet started to kind of feel it towards the end, and I think it was all the pavement, but I made lots of shoe changes. I didn't get any blisters, which I've had bad blisters in the past. Yay. So that was awesome. But if I'm like being honest, physically, I really feel like I was just getting to that point where I was starting to hit that pain cave point. So it makes me curious, like how far I could go, because it like physically, I felt really good even at the end.
Yeah.
Emotionally, I was done. I didn't want any more road. But physically, I felt like I could keep going.
Yeah.
So there was no time during it that you were like, you didn't want to get out of the van. Like, obviously there was times you didn't want to get out of the van, but were there any times that James had to like really pry you out of the van? And
So right before we got to Jake, so at about 130, I'm kind of sad. He had a prior engagement tonight that he can't be here to tell this story with, cause it was good. Right before the Route 40 bridge, we had planned to meet Jake at the McDonald's, and he had stopped and met me at this elementary school beforehand, and I had just run like 16 miles out of Susquehanna State Park, and it was mostly road, and it was again direct sunlight, and I was just like, I'm not running anymore. he's like, we only have like 2.5 miles to get to the McDonald's, and I was like, I'm not running anymore. I was like, I don't want to be out in the sun anymore. I'm over this. This is ridiculous. I don't know why I'm running so much road. I don't want to go anymore. I don't want to run in the sun anymore. I was like, I'm done for right now. And he's just like, but I can go get you a Big Mac. I can go, like, we can, you just got, like, let's go get to Jake. Like, and then you can take your rest. I got to drive you across the Route 40 bridge anyway. And I just was like, had it. Literally I stormed out of the van like a child and said, fine, I'll go and I'll probably completely melt down and I won't finish. I went off on my way and I did my 2.5 miles, and then I got my Big Mac and I sat in the air conditioning for an hour and then I was okay.
Yeah.
But yes. Yeah. But yeah, no, literally, you know, I don't think, I think you really do have to love someone to crew them. Something like that, because yeah, you're like a helpless child, and I, you know, that was probably the hardest part for me, is like I did really well physically, but I did not anticipate I'd wanted to get farther than I did on Saturday. And it wasn't even necessarily physically that I couldn't get there. It was that I had been up since Friday morning, worked, ran all night, like that whole, like I was just emotionally spent. And I was just, you know, I need to stop now and get some rest so that I can actually like tackle this mentally and emotionally. Your brain is so powerful when it comes to these things. And that's where like, you know, 100 miles, 200 miles. It's amazing if like your brain knows what your goal is. And I think you can truly get there just whatever the distance is, you know, even if it seems so much longer, like if you kind of set your mind to it, I think that you can get there.
Yeah. Yeah. It's incredibly mental and it's amazing how quickly we devolve into children because I certainly did on mine. And also,
I don't know what you guys are talking about. I've never,
I've never act like a child. No. Oh,
Becky. Here right now. So she can't help you.
There was another point where and Jen was with me during this and God love her. I was running from Hellam Hills to right before, like right at John Wright, like Wrightsville area, right at that park.
A lot of road.
And so I was running a lot of like more road, like more road sections. And I felt like I had to go to the bathroom. Like I had to poop. And I was like, there it's road. Like there were no woods to duck into. There was not really a good place to go. And I have a toilet in my van. And literally I was like, I'm going to have to call James and have him come. Cause like, I don't know if I can literally get there. Like I had to go and he didn't answer the phone. He didn't answer the phone. He was watching something on something and didn't answer the phone. And I was like, by the time I got to him, I was like, that's your one job, to answer the phone. And I mean, I got there and there was the and there was a porta potty and it all was fine. But at the moment I was like, all the things he's doing for me, I was livid. He didn't answer the phone because I had to go to the bathroom. You know, like I said, you turn into a child. So when he listens back to this, I can apologize again and say, I'm sorry for what I said when I was running an ultra.
We've all had those moments.
He's, you know what though, like he doesn't get like that. I just crewed him for his 100 and he stays pretty freaking pleasant the whole time, like and I'm like, I don't know how you do it. He's just pleasant. And I'm like, okay, I guess I need to up my game here.
It's just, I think it's different personalities and how they turn out when you do something like that, because I'm a very needy baby. I really do. Like I know that, but like, I see some people doing this stuff and it's like, they're not, there's no complaining.
But I don't doubt that he's suffering and I don't doubt that he's like frustrated. He just doesn't like, I like need to get it out so that I can keep moving on. Like if I don't just like let it out into the open, that's like my release. And he just doesn't need to do that, but like he's probably one of the easiest people to crew in that respect because he's so laid back. But that might be his downfall, is that he's laid back and I'm like, okay, it's time to move, let's go.
Now
there's you know, doing a multi-day event, I feel like on the one hand, you know, emotions can devolve into being a five-year-old, but also these other experiences can be incredibly heightened at the same time, and you really get some truly magical moments that you get to take with you for the rest of your life. So tell us about some of the magical moments that you had.
You know, it just, again, like it and for the parts of the trail that I've been on before, like to even just run them again and be in like be on that point and be like, okay, I, you know, I've been to High Point a bazillion times, you know. High Point's where James and I had our first date. Like, it's funny, we hiked up to High Point and that's another like part that makes this trail like super special to me. And there's that sign there and it says, I don't even know, 158 miles to the one terminus and the miles. And I always remember being like, there's that sign. And that on that day I was like, I'm going to go there. Like I'm going to do the whole thing. Like that was an awesome feeling. And just that whole idea of like, when you're running it, you're like, I'm going from point A to point B on foot. Like I'm traversing 200 miles on foot. They're like, that's considered a long drive. And just to be able to go do something like that is just one of those experiences. You're like, it's amazing what my body is capable of and what, and that there is, there's like this trail, there's these blue blazes that lead from point A to point B. And I know it's like minute compared to like the Appalachian Trail or something, but just cool that the things like that exist. And I think you just start to think about things like that when you're out there, because you start to get that perspective of, you know, what you're doing and the fact that it's amazing that you're able to do that, where I don't think you necessarily appreciate those things in your everyday work life, or even necessarily at races, you know, just that I think that's something that's special about an FKT, and especially doing like a point to point is like going out there and be like, how many people have been out on this trail, you know, and that it will always hold, you know, special. I don't know that I'm ever eager to go out and run the road sections again, but I really, the trail, it'll always hold like a special meaning to me for that. Yeah. Like, you know, which is cool. And it was cool to like help you through it and see you experience it and do that on that end, and then go and be able to do it like myself and kind of see. And there were so many times I thought about you and I was like, dude, how'd she freaking do this? This like sucks. Like, I don't know. It gives me that much more respect. And Roxanne and Julie. And that was the thing. I ran into Julie because she was out there doing it again. Like we did Wendy's on the way to Wago Club on the way to Wago Club. And we're like, there's another chick out here. And she's looking at Mason-Dixon maps. And she looks like what's going on? I'm like, oh my gosh, am I really out here competing for something? And it was awesome that it was her. And she was out there like doing it again, like, wow, kudos to her. And, you know, kudos to Roxanne for going out and like doing these things again. Cause
it's a huge, huge accomplishment. And you know what? You get to now inspire other people, to go out, people who followed your adventure, people who crewed you, who paced you. And I hope somebody's inspired and heads out to do the trail, even if it's not for an FKT, you know, just traversing that trail. The entire 200 miles is a huge accomplishment in its own right. And then doing it as fast as you did. And now it's the bar is starting to go up high now. You started to set it up high. So I don't know how, I think this one might stand for a little while.
Yeah. And I mean, I don't necessarily want to go do it again, but there's parts of me that you always start to think like, oh, if I had done this differently or this differently or not stopped and done all those things, could I have done it faster? So there is like thoughts like that. And it's interesting too, like you say in the trail, you know, one of the people that showed up out of nowhere was Eddie. And Eddie is like very well known with the Mason-Dixon. He ran it four times in 1 year. He, you know, he doesn't officially have the FKT, but he's probably unofficially definitely has the FKT. And he just literally, he's like one of those magical people that just appears out of nowhere. And you're like, where did you even come? Like, I was talking to James on the phone in White Clay. And he was like, oh, hey, Eddie's here. I was like, what? Like, hey, how did he know? And then he talks to Jake and he's like, where are you at? And Jake gives him some description of where they're at. And like literally 5 minutes later, Eddie's there on the trail. And I'm like, I don't even know how he got there. He just like teleported. And when he was running with us, like he was saying, like, he, you know, how inspirational it was to have someone. He's like, he kind of like feels like the trail's been kind of dead for a couple of years, like since you were out doing it. And like, cool to just see someone out there doing it again and like giving the trail some love. And that was like, that meant a lot, you know, to be like, you know, we're bringing some life back into it. So I do hope that I inspire, I'd love to see, you know, somebody go out there and smash it. Like, go and if you want a crew van, I'm there.
Great. Yeah, I've heard some rumblings on the men's side, though I will say every time I talk to somebody about it, you know, I always ask them, are you going for Eddie's record? Because Eddie he never submitted it, but if it depends on how you look at FKT rules, and most people would consider Eddie's as the one to beat. And every time I talk to somebody, they're like, oh, absolutely, I have to beat Eddie's, otherwise it doesn't count. So I've heard some rumblings on the men's side.
I'd like to see it go down.
Yes. Yeah, that trail is, it's ready for it. I like seeing people go after it because it's a tough trail. It's sneaky tough in some some challenging ways, and I'm ready for one of the guys to take it on. I mean, come on, guys.
Yep. I also, I don't know if she's watching this or she'll come back and watch it, but Jill Dennis is my coach, and I'd love to see someone like her take it on because she's fast on roads and a beast on trails, and like, you know, I feel like she could give the boys a run for their money on the time of it. So it would be cool to see something like that happen because it's really unique because of the road. Like it is mentally grueling, but it gives you that advantage that you could really do 200 miles in a quick time if you're really to go out and put it all out there.
Yeah. I think it's tricky for a lot of people to fit in a 200 miler and then recover for the next thing. Especially like my first FKT came about because of a canceled race. It was real similar to your situation. It was because of Georgia Death Race was canceled and I already had the crew and it was like, all right, well, I guess in 4 days I'll just do the Conestoga Trail. And it was easier when there weren't races. And now that there are races all the time, it's interesting. We saw a little bit of a dip in FKTs. I think they're coming back up again. You know, we just saw the Appalachian Trail FKT get smashed and the Pacific
by Crest a woman.
Trail. Mm-hmm. Yes. Awesome. So I don't know. We'll see a little bit of a resurgence, but it looks like there's less and less people who are doing both FKTs and big ultras. People are kind of picking one or the other because it's hard to recover for something.
There's
like
only
that.
So much time. Yeah. It took me probably a solid month, not even like being hurt, but just tired.
And time tired off work hungry. Too. You know, like we have jobs and it's expensive and so you recovered now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Nice. Back out running and doing things again.
What's next on your schedule? What do you have planned?
I am going, Jen, Brazzy and I are going to go do Call of the Wild 50K, which that's probably the only local 50K that I have, like, or local, I say, like, kind of in this Pennsylvania area that I have not done. It's been one that's always kind of intimidated me because it's got that big vertical gain and the technicality and a little bit, the cutoffs, the timing seems not too bad, but just the fact that there are so many cutoffs and there's that pressure to do it, so... I'm excited to go back to Little Pine and the scene of the crime from Eastern States and go do Call of the Wild. And then I think I'll do Hex Hollow. And I think I'm going to end up signing up for Rehoboth Beach Marathon. Because if I ran 100 miles of road, what's 26?
May as well.
Yeah. Things that sound fun.
It's hard to believe that Little Pine is completely cleaned up already.
I know. It was a mess.
Describe it to somebody. So the fact that it's cleaned up is amazing. All the wilds can even go off.
We stayed the weekend at Eastern States and did some like just fun runs. And there was an incident where we were out in a group. It was James and I and then two of our friends. We were running with Tom and Kyle. And we were going to run the last section of the course, like the last 30 miles of the course. And then I had the course loaded on my watch and we stupidly followed the original course, which dumped out to Little Pine.
Oh, I was there. Yeah.
And it was dark and we were out of water and food and the water like was up to our necks and we had like no headlamps and no way to go back up and go like the new route. So we basically bushwhacked along the ridge.
Yep.
It was an adventure. Yeah. Little Pine was a hot mess. So I'm, you know, glad that they were able to get it cleaned up. It shows those efforts. I hope they're able to do the same in Virginia and all those other places. It's insane what Mother Nature can do.
Yeah.
Yeah. And Eric, are you going up to Call of the Wilds? There.
Yeah. 25. Buddy. Just a
nice.
Yeah. And I'll actually be, I'm sweeping at Black Forest and then volunteering at the one of the aid stations. So I'm excited to go.
Yeah.
To go up and be part of it. I didn't wanna run it this year. I thought about it. That was one of the ones that I was like, I could go do, but I wanna save it for my Triple Crown Blacklist year at some point.
There you go. Are you gonna go for it next year? Are you signing up?
No, I don't know. Like, I thought about it, but I don't know. Like, I go with things that excite me, and it, like, for some reason, like, it's just, I'm not ready to go back into World's End again. Like, that's really like, I'm signed up for Heiner. I'm going to do Heiner, but yeah. I feel like I had like the best race I could at World's End. And I know that I feel like I could do it again, but I also feel like I had great crew. I was just physically and mentally where I needed to be. I came in right under cutoff. I like fought for it really hard. I had great pacers, and I just am kind of like, I don't know. I wasn't quite ready to like dive back in and commit to doing again. Also, like when you have a partner who also ultra runs, you know, it's really hard to commit to the same races, because in the end, it really works to have somebody there to support and crew for these bigger races than to have you both sign up and do the same ones. And James really wants to go back and do those races again. So I am happy to go and crew and support him. And I signed up for Cruel Jewel instead in the spring, because that sounded exciting to me.
Yeah.
And then the fall, who knows? You figure something out. Maybe another SKT.
Yeah, absolutely.
But I will go back and do it, but maybe next year.
Yeah. Plenty of time.
Yeah. Hope to be doing this for many more years. So hopefully there'll be all the time, but for now, I'll still be there.
Yeah. You still got one thumb working, so you'll be all right.
I do. It'll eventually heal. It'll probably heal faster if Barb washes it. She's going to yell at me. If I wear my brace, it'll probably heal faster. But man, it is like, you don't realize what you use your hands for until like one of them is like immobilized. They were like, we should cast you. And I'm like, no. No,
absolutely
thank you.
Not.
They're like, that's why we should cast you. And I said, no.
That's great.
I'll wear the brace.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, congratulations on your FKT. It was super exciting to see somebody beat my FKT, because I think, you know, I want to see all of my FKTs beaten because that's what they're there for, right?
They're there for.
To challenge the next person. And I'm so glad that you did it. And I can't wait for somebody to be inspired by your story and they're going to set the next one.
Yeah. Does it ever excite you to like see the things you start off and you put in motion by doing these things? And, like seeing the people who are like, it really is. It's one of those cool things to be like, yeah, I know somebody who did that. I think I could do that. I'm going to try, and just being able to learn from that experience to kind of know even how to do it, like to put the pieces into motion to have to do it. Like if I hadn't crewed you and had an experience that I wouldn't have had any clue of how to even go about organizing it.
Yeah.
So
it kind of, there's a lot of power in helping other people. And you were gracious enough to give me 5 of your days, and that's, you know, you get to learn a lot from that too. And I think
it was fun.
I think it's underappreciated how much you really can get from crewing, from pacing, from helping out other people. You learn more at, you know, the last aid station of 100 miler than you do from running a bunch of 5Ks. So
that's where all the carnage is. Yep.
Yes.
For sure.
So what do you have? What are you doing this weekend?
Yeah. So I'm going to be sweeping at Black Forest, and then James and I are supposed, yeah, it is. So we're doing that Saturday into Sunday. We're going to sweep the first aid station to the second aid station. So just that first 8 miles, that one that we did on our nice training run. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Just from Heiner. That was awesome. We saw a snake in the middle of the night on the trail. And I was like, well, that just ruined this whole experience for me. I thought they slept at night. I didn't think they would be out on the trail. And then we're supposed to go to Lyman Run State Park, which is right next to Cherry Springs, to see some stars, hopefully. Hopefully the weather cooperates. Nice. It's not looking so good right now, but it's supposed to be a dark weekend. So that'll make Black Forest fun. And there's supposed to be like a meteor shower. So that was what our plans originally were. I'm hoping the weather cooperates.
Fabulous.
What are you doing, Grace?
I am headed to the twat. Yeah. I've had this, have this on my wish list for a very long time, and the schedule looked good for it this year. So I'm going to do one loop at the twat, just one.
Which is how far?
So they call it a 25 mile loop, but it is 28 miles. So 28 miles, 7,000 feet of gain. It'll be fun. And I'm excited for Erica. Erica Libera is heading down there too. So I'm excited to see how she likes. I have not been to the Wild Oak Trail before, so I'm excited to see.
Yeah. The name is awesome. I love the twat.
The twat.
Good name.
This is the hot twat. Yep.
The hot twat. Yeah, because there's the hot and the cold twat. Yeah.
Yep. There's a hot twat and there's a cold twat, and this is the hot twat. So I'm excited for it.
That
would
be fun.
Eric, what are you doing this weekend?
I think we're going over to our family cabin, hanging out, family time.
Nice.
No races this weekend for the girls?
No races. No, this is the last free weekend before things get crazy.
They're not already crazy.
Well, yeah. I don't know where this free weekend came from, but I'm going to embrace it.
Mm-hmm. Next weekend. I'm done with free weekends for a while.
I don't know what those are. I always feel like there's something, and if it's empty, I'll fill it. Mm-hmm. Need to learn how to stop filling it. But there's so many fun things to do.
Yep. Mm-hmm. Well, I'll see you at Call of the Wilds, Jess.
Yep.
I think.
Looking forward to seeing you in the beginning, and then maybe you'll still be there. At the end when I fish.
Yep. Hopefully it's a nice weekend. Are you guys camping? You guys camping at Little Pine?
Yeah. It'll just be Jen and I. We're doing a girls weekend up there. So yeah, we'll be camping. I forget what site we're at. And then, so we're just driving up Saturday and going back on Sunday. It'll be my second 50K with her this year. So I'm excited. The last one was flat and raining. So hopefully this one will be sunny, and we know it's not flat. So
cool.
But I'm excited.
It'll be a good weekend.
Thanks for being on. We appreciate it.
Yeah, thanks for having me. It was awesome.
Yay. Thanks for being on. It was lovely. No problem.
All right. You guys have a good night. Yeah.
And tune in next weekend. Next week, every Monday. Tune in Monday, 7:30. Do some reviews and comments and give us all the stars so that the algorithm monsters will be satisfied, and they will be nice to us, and we will show up in your feeds more often. So do all of those things and tune in every Monday, 7:30 p.m. We'll be back. I don't know what we're going to talk about next weekend.
Things.
We'll find something fun.
Things.
We'll talk about things next weekend.
Yep.
Thanks, everybody, for tuning in.
Yep.
Yep. Thanks, everybody. Have a good night. See you next Monday.
Oh, bye.
Okay, bye.